Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest joining us from Germany is Dr. Claire R. Johnson, and we will be speaking about her new book, Mindful Dreaming, Harness the Power of Lucid Dreaming for Happiness, Health, and Positive Change. There are many books on dreams, dream interpretation, and lucid dreaming. What makes this one different is that Claire combines the principles of mindfulness with a fresh approach to lucid dreaming. The end result is a step-by-step guide for understanding dream language, waking up in our dreams, and transforming them to improve our waking lives. Claire is a leading expert on dreaming. She has a PhD from the University of Leeds on using lucid dreams as a creative tool. She's a lucid dreamer herself and a board director of the International Association for the Study of Dreams. She regularly gives talks and leads workshops about dreaming, and you can find out more by visiting her website, which is deeplucidedreaming.com, and I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Claire to the show. Thank you for being with us, Claire. Sorry about that short little break there, but I'm really looking forward to talking about dreams and sharing it with our listeners.
Yeah. Me too.
Great. So, I usually like to start the show by having the guests kind of give a little bit about their journey and what got them to doing what they are. So would you mind sharing with the listeners a little bit about how you got started in in your interest in dreams?
Sure. Well, I've been a very vivid dreamer all my life. And in fact, my earliest memory in my life is of a dream I had when I was 3, and it started off as a wonderful dream, and it quickly degenerated into a nightmare. And in this dream, I was swimming in a turquoise swimming pool. Everything was wonderful. It was sunny and amazing. And then I started to sink under the water, and I couldn't get up to the surface, and I started to drown. And as I was drowning and I panicked, I suddenly realized that I had a choice. I could either stay in that dream and drown, or I could wake myself up. And I decided to wake up, and I rolled over really violently in the swimming pool to escape from it and to wake myself up, and I ended up rolling out of my bed, falling on the floor with a bang, and my mother came running, and she said to me, "Oh, Claire, it wasn't real. That was only a dream. Not real. Go back to sleep." So that was my first experience of being told that this incredibly vivid multisensory reality that I'd just been in was not real. Adults didn't think it was real. So I think for me that was a major moment in my life, because I continued to have a very, very vivid dream life as I grew up. Also had nightmares. I had sleepwalking episodes. But my dream life was always so real to me. And yet other people just weren't interested and dismissed dreams and said they weren't important. So I think that was really the start of my journey into dreaming. And when I got to university, I decided I want to study dreams. And of course, in those days in the UK, you couldn't just, you know, do a dream studies course. There were no teachers, nobody was interested. So I studied it as part of an independent studies project. And then that led to me actually doing a PhD on the topic of lucid dreaming later on. And that was the first PhD that was done on lucid dreaming as a creative writing tool. And during my PhD years, I developed a technique called lucid writing, which I'll talk to you about later if you'd like to hear it. And I started to teach this technique, which was supposed to be just a creativity technique. But as I started teaching it in workshops, I realized it was also a transformative healing technique. It was helping people with nightmares and helping them to overcome past traumas. So I began to branch out and then started to write books. And yeah, so that's kind of how I got to where I am today, my basic path into dreaming.
Yeah, I've always been interested in dreams. In my childhood, too, I had one of those dreams that stuck with me for a very, very long time. And I mean, it's
really?
One of those, I'll go ahead and just share it quickly. In my youth, I did a lot of astral travel. In my dreams, I mean, I would literally just start flapping my arms and away I went. And really enjoyed, obviously, that feeling of flight. But there was one particular reoccurring dream that happened for many years. And it was one where I would fly to this location where it was a field of, like, bright yellow daisies. Mm-hmm. And when I got there, there were three individuals or three persons that were always there. And the closest one was a male who would, whenever I had issues going on in my day-to-day life, you know, he would kind of walk me through it, you know. And then there the next one further away was a female, and she would always address emotions, you know, the emotional stuff going on. And then the furthest was really no gender. I mean, it was just, you know, and that particular one would kind of talk to me about, you know, the higher stuff, you know, And then it was just odd. It was like they each had their very distinct role. So anyway, you know, and that one, again, you know, I mean, to this day, I'm sure, like your water and drowning dream, I mean, you can bring it back to your forethought immediately, you know, by tuning in. So,
I mean, the dream that you described sounds amazing with the dream guides. I mean, that's just wonderful.
Yeah, they were
support.
Yeah, they helped me through a lot. Let's first identify, you know, the title of your book is Mindful Dreaming. So would you mind kind of helping us understand exactly what is mindful dreaming?
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a big buzz about mindfulness these days and how we need to be more awake to the present moment, more alert to what's happening in our waking lives. That's absolutely wonderful. It's a very good movement. But I think it's also possible and very valuable to bring that mindfulness, that consciousness into our dreams, because we spend so much of our time asleep. And we have these dreams every night that a lot of us don't even remember. And when we don't remember our dreams, we miss out on this deeper part of ourselves. So what mindful dreaming is about is about waking up to that nighttime aspect of our lives and getting to know our dreams and learning how to work with our dreams for insight and for healing. And there are basically three aspects to mindful dreaming. So first of all, mindful sleeping, which is when we create calm bedtime rituals and we cultivate a mindful approach to dreaming. So, for example, we welcome our dreams and we keep a dream journal. That's the very first, most important step to being mindful in our dreams, is remembering our dreams. And we can teach ourselves to remember our dreams just by wanting to remember them, and also by staying in the same position when we wake up in the morning, not immediately moving or starting to think about the day, but just allowing our body to stay still and think back with our closed eyes. What was I just doing? Who was I just with? How was I feeling? And we'll find that we'll start to remember dreams. And then if we can write them down and record them, that's yet another step towards mindful dreaming. And then a further step is working with those dreams. And there's also lucid dreaming. Now, this is when you're aware that this is a dream, when you're asleep and dreaming. And in a lucid dream, the present moment just becomes incredibly amplified. Your awareness is super high. It's like mindfulness times a thousand. You know, you have this mental clarity, and you're able to fully experience the here and now of the dream reality. And lucidity is not all about dream control. It's actually, lucidity is about awareness. So what I do in my work is I try to bring lucid awareness into all aspects of sleep and dreams, and that includes the third aspect of mindful dreaming, which is waking dream work, which is when we shine the light of conscious awareness onto our dreams by working with them in insightful and illuminating ways. So those are the elements, the basic elements of mindful dreaming.
Wow, yeah. And I want to talk a little bit later about that dream work. Now, you mentioned lucid dreaming. Now, in your book, you indicate that there are five different types of dreams: physical, emotional, archetypal, lucid, and soul. So you just described lucid dreaming. Can you kind of help us understand the other four different types and kind of an example of each?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a physical dream, well, you know, when we dream, our body has a great influence on what we dream. The simplest example of that is when in the night we need to pee. And so we start having those really annoying dreams where you're running around and you can't find the lavatory, or else you find it, but there's loads of people in there, or else you just can't use it for some reason or another.
Uh-huh.
Really stressful. And then eventually you wake up and you go, oh, what a stressful dream. And then you realize, full bladder, okay, I know I had that dream.
Right.
So that's the most basic level
okay.
of that. A physical dream, where something that's going on with our body, external noises can do it, or else pain. If we're in pain, that will come into our dreams as well. I mean, I've woken up before feeling that I've had a dream that there's something wrong with my arm and I can't move my arm, and I've woken up to find that I've lain on my arm in a funny position, and it's got pins and needles, you know. So that's a physical dream, very simple. Then you've got emotional dreams, most of the vivid dreams we have are highly emotional. So emotional dreams are when we feel something very strongly in the dream, whether it's anger or sorrow or loss or happiness, joy. And these are the kind of dreams that they can help us with our life situation. They can help us to understand how we're really feeling about a situation at that point in our lives, because dreams act as very honest mirrors. They show us our deepest emotions, even the ones that we're actually trying to ignore or suppress. They'll come up in our dreams. So that's emotional dreams. And then archetypal dreams. Well, archetypes are these universal symbols or characters, figures that have come up throughout the history of humankind, and we constantly have them in dreams, also in stories. So if you've ever been to see a Hollywood movie, you'll find archetypal figures such as the hero, the goddess, the warrior. And these come into our dreams as well. So an example of an archetypal dream that I have in mindful dreaming is of a man that he dreams. He goes into, I think it's a cathedral, and he looks down into a hole in the ground in the middle of this cathedral, and he sees the devil in there waving his pitchfork. So this is a lot of archetypal imagery, you know, the cathedral, the Christian religion, and then this devil. So that's, again, a very interesting dream, which could mean all sorts of things. But these figures, like God figures or devil figures, they're embedded in the human psyche, and they can help us to understand what the dream is representing in terms of contrast or opposites or struggles, interior struggles, good against evil, for example.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And lucid dreams, as I said, are dreams where you know that you're dreaming while you're dreaming. And then there's soul dreams. And soul dreams are dreams that are just wonderfully luminous in some sense and feel spiritual, like they come from some sort of higher part of ourselves, or that connect us with the universe in a deep and meaningful way. They can often involve deities, godlike figures, and this sense of deep communion. And soul dreams can also simply involve light. And I deal a lot with light in my work, because light is a very transformative element also that we can use in dream play when we work with dreams while we're awake, and also in lucid dreams when we send light to nightmare figures, for example, to enable them to transform. And so some soul dreams, you're floating in what feels like infinite light, and it's as if you've discovered the source, I suppose, the source of consciousness, and you feel completely like you belong and everything is infinite and it's not you anymore. You're not your little self. You're kind of your greater self, and you dissolve into this vastness of the universe, feeling like a drop in the ocean. And that is an incredibly wonderful feeling, and one that when you wake up from it, it accompanies you. It doesn't just disappear immediately. It can really be a great source of solace in your life to have these amazing soul dreams.
Wow, you know, it's interesting. When I read that in your book about the soul dreams and luminosity, that this month alone, this is like the third time luminosity has come up. I had a show earlier in the month. A gentleman, a doctor who works with light, also wrote a book called Luminous Life: How Science of Light Unlocks the Art of Living. And then I had a woman who talked about creating luminous spaces. So obviously, light is kind of real important at the moment, it seems, you know.
I believe light's always there. That's the thing. I think it's there in every state of consciousness. And I think it is this fundamental aspect of being alive and being conscious. And for me, one of the easiest ways to access a direct experience of this luminosity is through lucid dreaming. Because it's a state of consciousness, lucid dreaming, where you can become lucid in a dream and then just decide to meditate. You close your eyes and meditate. You go really, really deep, really, really fast, because you don't have a body to distract you, and your dream body dissolves as well. And you enter this incredibly spiritual state of light and oneness. So this is something I've been experimenting with a lot, and I know other lucid dreamers who have also experienced this state, and it seems just such an easy way to just sort of recharge yourself on every level. Can really help people who are having problems in their lives, emotional difficulties or difficult situations, or they've lost a loved one because they've died, and these experiences recharge and rejuvenate you and help you to understand as well that death is a transition. And it's not necessarily the end of everything, you know. These kinds of deep lucid dreams help you to have a new perspective on life and death. So they're very valuable and very powerful.
Yeah, well, I'm going to definitely have to experiment with that in my dreaming, because I have not tried that. But it makes sense, you know, that, you know, so many of the barriers that we would have to trying to experience that in our waking state would not be there. So it should be a lot easier.
Exactly. Yeah. We're a lot freer in our thinking in a dream. And there are only restrictions there, really, if we impose those restrictions by our limiting beliefs, you know. So I think it's easier to let go of the usual beliefs that we have when we're dreaming, when we're lucid in a dream. And that can really create a gateway for deeper spiritual experiences.
Absolutely. So now for the listeners who may wonder, you know, what value, you know, do dreams have? And in particular to either their mental health or their state of well-being, what would you say to those people who question their value?
Yeah, well, I think it's interesting because different disciplines would tell you different reasons for why dreams are valuable. So neuroscience would say that dreams are valuable because they help us to consolidate memory, and they help the learning process. And a psychoneuroimmunologist would say that dreams are valuable because they process emotions that are too strong before those emotions can be stored on a cellular level and potentially cause illness in the body. Mm. And then psychologists would say that dreams are important because they help us to have insight into our lives. They help us to understand what's happening in our lives and how we really feel. They help us to solve problems and so on. And I think all of those disciplines are absolutely right. I mean, what dreams do is they also tell us stories. You could think of dreams as being like a movie reel of our deep unconscious imagery. And when we learn how to work with this imagery in healing ways, we can transform our inner movie and empower ourselves to live the life we'd really love to live. So there are so many ways of working with dreams. And dreams can also help our physical health in a very kind of practical way, because you also get diagnostic dreams. So, for example, one woman, I think it was Brenda Mallon, a dream therapist, she reports the case of a woman who dreamed that she saw a living X-ray of her head, and it pinpointed the site of a tumor on the base of her brain. And this woman acted fast. The tumor was discovered in that exact spot and was treated successfully. And there were lots and lots of stories, and there's research into this done by Dr. Larry Burke into breast cancer dreams, where women have been told that, by the dream that they have breast cancer. And I remember there was a story about one woman who had a dream that she had breast cancer. She went to a doctor, and the doctor couldn't find any cancer. But not all cancer shows up I think it's called a mammography. Mammogram. It doesn't always show up. And so then she had another dream, and in this second dream, she was shown exactly where this little cancer was. And she went in and she drew a spot on her left breast underneath it and said to the doctor, "That's where you have to insert your biopsy needle." And he didn't want to, but she refused to leave. And then he eventually did. And his face went completely white, drained of color, because he'd found a cancerous lump. But luckily, that she was in time. They managed to operate, and then she was okay. So that dream helped to save her life. So dreams, again, as I said earlier, dreams can be very physical. And dreams often know when we have illness in our body and can send us a dream to warn us so that we can act.
Yeah, it is amazing, and I've had a couple guests on over the last 7 years who have gotten that kind of guidance into physical ailments, you know, through the dream state. Mm. Yeah, and actually one of them was a breast cancer survivor, and so I mean, it's, you know, to me, it's obviously the body knows, you know, and it's going you're going to cry and let you know. But, you know, but there was one interesting little bit of information in your book that I didn't know, and it kind of surprised me, and I thought I really wanted to bring it up and kind of get your take on it. And in it, you indicated how mindful dreaming can help with depression, anxiety, and phobias. And in it, you indicated that clinically depressed people spend more time in REM, the REM state, and dream more than other people. And I had no idea, you know, that was the case, and that overdreaming can lead to waking up feeling exhausted. I mean, I've done that many a time. I guess I was depressed.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have, you sort of wake up absolutely exhausted. That's the thing. Yes, yeah, so this was work that was done by a psychologist called Joe Griffin. And they found that dreams normally provide us with a kind of emotional safety net. But it goes into overdrive, because basically what a lot of people do with depression during the day is they worry and worry and worry about problems until they feel completely hopeless. And so because there's so much worry going on during the day and so many strong feelings of hopelessness, the dreaming mind tries extra hard to process all these strong emotions during the night. But this means that the depressed person is spending kind of too much time in the very highly active state of REM sleep. So most adults would normally spend about 25% of the night in REM sleep, and then 75% would be this really deep recuperative sleep that we all actually really need to regenerate on the cellular level. So a depressed person would be dreaming sort of three times more than they would normally be. And this is called overdreaming, and they miss out on this vital sleep that restores them. So they wake up feeling exhausted. And so it just becomes, of course, they wake up feeling exhausted, and if you feel exhausted, it's very hard to think, okay, I'm going to get on with this, and I've got a great solution for this problem in my life. Instead, you're just in the same cycle of feeling exhausted and hopeless. So it becomes kind of just a vicious cycle, basically. And so the important thing is that if people are overdreaming, they need to try to stop worrying and worrying and thinking about their problems all the time. So, for example, doing some talk therapy to help them to face their problems. But sometimes they found that even simply understanding why they are overdreaming is enough for many people to be able to free themselves from this cycle. So when people manage to sort of stop worrying too much during the day, they will get more recuperative sleep at night, and then they'll wake up feeling more refreshed and more ready to face the problems in their life. And so then you can actually turn it so it goes into a positive cycle. And this is what that research found. And I've actually worked with people who have also found that this has worked. Simply, this one woman I worked with, she wrote down her dreams, which were really, really difficult dreams, full of death. I mean, she was killing people in her dreams that were parts of herself. Oh, yeah. And she was having a very difficult time. She was very anxious, very depressed. And she was overdreaming. But talking about her dreams, writing them down and doing dream work with them, and also listening to relaxation CDs as she drifted off to sleep, or else during the day as well. It's very good to do that if you're depressed, because that will help you to have those levels of recuperation in your body. You lie down, have deep relaxation, listen to something you love. That really helps too. But this lady that I worked with, her dreams started to change. And she started to find that she wasn't needing to kill people in her dreams anymore. She was starting to, she got more kind of conscious and understanding what was happening, and was able to just have a happier dream life, because her dreams themselves reacted to the fact that she was now getting better within herself. And dreams often do that. They will totally reflect our state of mind. So if you're in a very bad state of mind, often your dreams are nightmarish. And then when you start to improve, then your dreams will reflect that improvement. But the interesting thing about dreams is that often, I mean, what I find myself, if I'm going through a difficult time in my life, and I go to bed exhausted, you know, really just, oh, it's all too much, I'm just exhausted. And I fall into bed, and I sometimes will have the most amazing, wonderful, supportive dream. I mean, anything like maybe floating in light, as we talked about earlier, or something more concrete, like I'll meet an old friend in the dream, and we'll have a hug, and it will just be the most amazing, supportive hug. And I'll wake up feeling like, I don't know, just feeling better. You know, mm-hmm. So your dreams can also send you these kind of life-saving experiences where you just feel everything's going to be all right, and you wake up believing that, and then actually things get better because you're in the right attitude to allow things to get better.
Right, right. Wonderful. So we're about halfway through the show, Claire, so I want to take just a quick break, and I do want to invite listeners, if they would like to call in and ask any questions, they can call in at 619-789-4359. And those listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to type them in. And then when we come back from break, Claire, if you don't have anybody in the queue, I want to talk a little, I mean, since we've been talking about lucidity, in your book you have a 9-step program to getting lucid, and then we've talked about a couple of those steps, but some of them, I'd like to kind of talk about the other ones, because I just think that it's, some fascinating ideas there for people to consider, okay?
Great. Sounds
great.
Good.
Okay, everyone, we'll be back in just about 90 seconds.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,200 shows we have had over the past 7 years. Also on the site are links to the products and services we provide, books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store. Our show is available as a free podcast on iTunes, and you can subscribe for free at the iTunes Store, or even quicker, there is a link on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc., and we also have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. Our website, www.biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today, my very special guest, joining us from Germany, is Claire R. Johnson, Dr. Claire R. Johnson, and we're talking about her new book, Mindful Dreaming, Harness the Power of Lucid Dreaming for Happiness, Health, and Positive Change. And again, you can find out more about Claire and her work and her book by visiting her website, which is deeplucidreaming.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. And also, I do want to let you know, remind you that we are now available on TuneIn. It's an app available on virtually every smartphone. And once we conclude the show, it's available on TuneIn within minutes. So it's an easy way to listen to our shows. Okay, so with that, we're back, Claire?
Yeah.
Great. Okay, so now in the book you have the 9-step program to getting lucid, and one of them is keep a dream journal, which, you know, we talked a little bit about. Meditate is we've spoken a little bit about that, but one of the other steps, the third step, was carry out reality checks. Can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, I think. You know,
sure.
I think we could use a few of those.
Yeah, that's right. Well, so a reality check is just sort of checking in with yourself to decide what state of consciousness you're in right now. Because we often think, oh, you know, you're either awake or asleep. That's all there is to it. But it's not like that. I mean, we go through so many different states of consciousness during the day. We may be in a daydreaming state of consciousness. We may be super alert and highly active. We may be feeling drowsy. And that's all just, you know, and it could happen in the space of a few minutes, all those different states of consciousness. And so what it's good to do is just ask yourself at regular intervals in the day, am I dreaming? You know, what state of consciousness am I in? Am I dreaming? How do I know that I'm not dreaming? So you could ask yourself every time you see yourself in a mirror, for example, or every time you leave the house to walk down the street. And it's very good to just imagine perhaps that you are dreaming. Try and imagine that actually, yeah, this is a dream right now. And play around with the idea of what you would do if you were right and this were a dream. What would you do? Would you fly into the sky, or would you practice your karate kicks? You know, what would you do? And then imagining that, it actually helps to get you into practice for asking yourself, am I dreaming, when you are actually in a dream? And then realizing, oh my goodness, I must be in a dream because there's all sorts of crazy stuff happening here that doesn't normally happen in waking life. And then you become lucid in the dream. So it's all about just questioning your current state of consciousness, which is something I think a lot of people just don't really tend to do, don't really think about. The more aware and mindful we become of our state of consciousness, the more likely we are to realize that we are actually dreaming when we're dreaming.
Yeah, you know, and I found that interesting. First of all, you know, asking oneself that, you know, while awake, you know, in that waking state, to me it was, you know, when we think about it, you know, quite often we all always think of dreams as the nighttime dreams, but you know, we do have that waking dream state, that
exactly.
Well, daydreaming, you know, that people talk about.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's very interesting to look around right now, where you are right now, where I am right now, and think, well, how do I really know that this is not a dream? Because it's actually quite hard to tell the difference, because if you think about it, in most of our non-lucid dreams, we're completely convinced that the reality we're in is waking reality. It's only when we wake up that we think, how could I have not realized that, you know, when that aeroplane started to do loop-the-loops in my grandmother's sitting room, that actually this is a dream reality, you know? We would just accept so much in our dreams. So it's very good to get that that discerning, questioning kind of state of mind and try and really pick holes in the reality you're in and make sure that it's not a dream. So you could try jumping up and down and seeing if you float, for example. Because in a dream, of course, you've got this amazing, light, flexible dream body, and it feels very different from this waking body. So this is another very good way of becoming lucid, and it's one of the 9 steps in this program that I created. So it's cultivating body awareness, you know. If you tune into your body at regular intervals during the day and just feel, what can you feel? Is there any part of you that's slightly in pain, or, you know, like you sometimes get backache if you sit for too long, or is your hair tickling your face? Mine always does, because I've got these these curls that come down around my face. I can always feel my hair in waking life, but I can't in my dreams. Are you hungry? You know, what's happening in your body? Is your breath nice and deep and comfortable? All these kinds of things. And then you'll see that in a dream, it's just a very different kind of body. You're lighter. You tend to float. You tend to be able to stretch further, you know, things like that. And it's a very wonderful feeling, actually. The dream body is often one of my lucidity triggers, because I think, oh, I'm feeling all kind of floaty and a bit kind of lucid dreamy. And then I get, oh, well, this is a dream. That's why. So it can work.
Absolutely. Now, and this is kind of funny. I let a friend of mine know that you know, I had the show today on dreams. And that he woke up today with a very vivid dream that wasn't a real pleasant one. And I had mentioned, you know, your 9-step program. And then in one of those steps, it was take afternoon naps. Well, he takes a nap every afternoon. So when he woke up, he says, I'm not taking naps anymore. And I just had to laugh.
Well, you know, in afternoon naps, very often we go pretty much straight into REM sleep, and REM sleep, I mean, we dream in every part of the sleep cycle, but the most vivid, peculiar, odd, crazy, emotional dreams happen in REM sleep. So that's why I like afternoon naps, because they you have many more opportunities to become lucid, because they're so weird, you know.
Okay, well, that's good.
But I don't know. Maybe he'll dare to try it again one afternoon.
I really don't think he's serious about any nap. You know, he likes that pretty much. But now, and one of the other steps too that you had that I thought was an interesting one was watch pre-sleep imagery.
Yeah, I love this. I don't know if you do this or not. Do you do this?
Now, are you talking about...
like hypnagogia, like the imagery, the strange imagery or sounds or sensations that we experience just as we're dropping off to sleep?
Yes, I do notice that. When you say watch it, I mean, so tell us a little bit about that pre-sleep imagery and how that affects our dream state.
Sure. Yeah, it's actually a magical state. It's a gateway to lucid dreaming. So when we lie down in bed and we're all cozy and we close our eyes and then we start to lose the sensation of our body, you know, we start to just kind of not really feel our body anymore. And we start to enter this other kind of space, but we're not asleep yet, not by any means. We're kind of floating towards the cusp of sleep. And in that state, you often find kind of really random, extremely bizarre imagery will come up. So if you can observe this, if you can just be aware, oh yes, I'm just falling asleep, I'm just watching, you know, keep that kind of quiet, curious alertness in you, and then you'll be able to notice this imagery starting to come up. Sometimes you just see little bits of light or wiggly lines, but then you'll see this weird imagery. And then they'll start to stay for longer, these images. They'll start to stay for 2 or 3 seconds. And then you'll notice they start to move and sort of become a chain of imagery. And this is the very start of dreaming. It's absolutely fascinating. You can watch your dream build up block by block, step by step. And if you can stay aware as these images start to shape-shift, then you can follow them into a three-dimensional dream space, and then you'll be lucid. You will have actually kind of remained conscious as you fall asleep, and you'll go directly into a lucid dream. And that is just wonderful, and that's much easier to do in an afternoon nap, I find, than when you're exhausted after a full day and, you know, you kind of want to go straight into a deep sleep. So afternoon naps are good for this as well, or just lying down in the day. And it's very similar to yoga nidra. Have you heard of that? It's like when you lie on your back in the corpse pose, a yoga pose. And again, you close your eyes and you follow your breathing and let yourself grow heavier and heavier on the mat until you can't really feel your body anymore. And then you observe all these images, or sometimes you get noises or sensations, and you just float on the cusp of sleep. And that's the yogis, of course, they don't use it to go to sleep. They just use it so that they can remain conscious. And because it's very hard to remain conscious when your body wants to fall asleep.
Right.
You want to slip straight into non-lucid dream, and just then that's it for the night, you know. It's very good. It's like a meditative practice, and it's a wonderful thing to do. You find there are amazing things that come up in that state, and it can be quite magical to see what happens in your mind as you fall asleep.
Okay, well, I'm not normally a nap kind of person, but I might just have to incorporate that into my daily routine, which I don't think
give
would
it
be
a try.
Harmful
yeah,
at
give
all.
Yeah, give it a try. Even if you just do it like for, you know, just lie down on a yoga mat for 10, 20 minutes or something. And just see what your mind does. Just watch it, because our minds are so fascinating, and it will do all it can to distract you, or either make you fall asleep or make you get so awake you think, God, what's the point of this, and just get up. So, you know, your job is to slow your mind down, slow your breath down, slow your body down, but remain alert, lucidly aware. So it's a trick, you know, it's kind of, you have to keep practicing.
I would think, that would take practice, but that's okay. That's a nice, healthy practice too.
Exactly.
The ninth step in that particular program, I kind of chuckled. I mean, it was the try the wake up back to bed technique, the WBTB. I think I would use that technique without knowing about it, but I think I'm sure there's a little bit more to the idea of just waking up and going back to bed.
Yeah, that's right. So basically, we have most of our deep sleep during the first 4 to 5 hours of the night. And so it's nice to kind of get that over and done with, because then in the second half of the night, we have a lot more REM sleep. So again, this highly vivid, highly emotional dream, sort of streams of dream imagery. And that's pretty good for lucid dreaming. So what people do, and this works particularly well, I think, for quite deep sleepers. I mean, I'm a very light sleeper, so I barely need to do this technique. It would be enough for me just to wake up briefly and go, oh, yeah, have a lucid dream, and then drop back to sleep again. But people who are deeper sleepers actually need to set their alarm into about 4 or 5 hours after they've been to sleep, wake up get out of bed and get up for about 15 to 30 minutes, write down their dreams, watch a lucid dream video on YouTube, something like that, do anything they can to do with dreams. And then they go back to bed and visualize themselves becoming lucid in one of the dreams they just had. And this, again, helps to get into their head, yeah, lucid, I want to get lucid in a dream, and this is what I would do if I became lucid in a dream. So it's like the repetition of it. And then hopefully the idea is that they've got this refreshed, active brain, but their body's still tired, and that's very good for lucid dreaming. So you kind of get the brain chemistry right. And then they go back to sleep and perhaps, hopefully, are alert enough in their brains to actually get lucid. Yeah. And
wonderful.
That actually has a very high success rate. There was a lab study by Daniel Erlacher in Switzerland, and they found that in the sleep lab, 50% of participants managed to become lucid using the wake back to bed technique. So can be pretty effective.
Wow, that sounds great. Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and so everybody, I would suggest that they get their book and really kind of dive into that 9-step program, because each of those really contributes to getting lucid. So now, one of the, you kind of mentioned it in the first half of the show. You said something about the inner movie, being like a movie. Now, in your book, you talk about your inner movie, the sleeping, inner movie, the inner movie while asleep, but you also talk about the waking inner movie going on. So can you talk a little bit about that? I think we maybe have touched on it earlier in the show, but I found that an interesting concept.
Yeah, so it's basically that we create our realities with the thoughts and the images that we keep in our mind. And this applies not only to the way that we dream, but also to the thoughts that go through our mind during the day. So if we are having a lot of negative self-thoughts, like, oh, I'm useless, I'll never get a job, I'll never find love, and we keep replaying this as a kind of inner movie and accompany it with images of us lost and lonely and jobless and so on, it kind of makes sense that it's going to be pretty hard for us to actually find those things that we want, because we keep reinforcing the negative aspect of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same with dreams. The dreams, if we're having negative dreams, nightmares, dreams that leave us feeling really bad when we wake up, then it's really good to do waking dream work with our dreams to help them to transform in a very spontaneous and healing way. And I can talk about that more in a minute. And it also applies to the waking movie. We need to become more mindful of what is happening in our brain, the kinds of images that we're creating, the movies that we're replaying to ourselves. And we need to learn how to free ourselves from deep-rooted patterns that we keep creating and recreating in our lives, so that we can actually free ourselves to have a happier life. And dream work is an excellent way of changing not only the dream movie, but also the waking movie. So I can give you an example. One of my techniques that I mentioned earlier is lucid writing. This is a dream play technique. And with lucid writing, you focus on a dream you've had. You relax, close your eyes, bring it back into your mind, and really vividly re-enter that dream with all the thoughts and feelings. And then you open your eyes just very slightly, you have a pen and paper, and you write without stopping. And you write anything that comes into your mind, because you'll find that that internal imagery will continue to move and transform. And you write it all down without judging. And then when you read back, often you'll find that that dream imagery has changed in some sort of interesting way that gives you an insight into what the dream means, or helps you find a solution to the dream and reflect upon your life in a more positive way. I'll give you an example. One woman came to a workshop of mine, and she had a nightmare. She was actually a very anxious woman, very kind of all bent over and really sort of anxious and upset, and seemed very sad. And she told us of a dream she had that she was piloting a little plane through a stormy sky. And it was awful. The storm was really, really strong. She was getting battered around in this storm. And there was a great big plane that came sort of close by to her. And that terrified her as well. And she ended up crashing. So that was her nightmare. And so we did lucid writing. So she re-entered the dream, and she was able to relive the dream without fear. And this is absolutely key, you know, for some nightmares that we work with, to just be able to go back in fearlessly, knowing you're safe and you're awake and you can stop it whenever you want to. And so when she went back into this dream in her mind's eye, without fear, everything changed. So she was in this little plane, and it was a stormy sky, yes, but she wasn't afraid. And she looked over and saw this other plane next to her and realized that plane had come to help her. There was a friend in there. And the big plane guided her little plane safely down to the ground. And as she landed on the ground, all the storm clouds disappeared and the sun came out. And that dream for her, that lucid writing transformation, was incredibly powerful. She started to cry, as she told us, because she realized that what it meant was that she had been so much in a victim mentality in her life, with her boss bullying her and all this, that she hadn't realized that there were friends at hand, there was help at hand. And if she could only accept that help, then her life would change.
Wow. That's a wonderful
example,
way of getting at that.
Yeah, I mean, and all sorts of things can happen in lucid writing or in any other types of waking dream work. It can be incredibly powerful. And that's why I have so many examples of practical dream work in my book, because I just think it's so easy to empower people to work with their dreams. If you have the right kind of techniques, they can go deeply into it. And it doesn't even have to take long. I mean, that's the example I just gave you, it took 5 minutes, you know, and she suddenly had this realization and understood that she could change things in her life. And that's often the first step to really feeling empowered in your life, understanding that there are options, you know.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And another one of your practices or techniques that you had in the book, in that dream play, lucid dream play section, was number 20, change that thought. I mean, and you know, talking about quick results or, you know, something. I mean, that's, you know, one of those immediate types of stimulus response kinds of situations that you can really implement easily.
Yeah, exactly. Just really simple techniques, so they don't have to take much time. And it's just all about becoming more self-aware and becoming more mindful, noticing what is happening inside your own mind. There's an awful lot going on all the time, you know, and so often we just we don't really engage with it. We allow this negative inner movie or whatever it is that's happening to just keep on rolling and keep on rolling, and then we wonder why our lives don't change. But if we can just be alert and be lucid to what's happening and change these negative thoughts into something positive, then we'll find that we'll become more, well, happier in our waking lives.
Exactly. Now, we don't have time to go into it, but one of the areas you also talk about in your book is sleep well, dream well, and then you have a little questionnaire kind of thing of what kind of sleeper are you? You know, that's a wonderful tool. I think people would enjoy. We're kind of down toward the end of the show. So, now, is there any particular topic that maybe we didn't cover that you would feel would be, you know, good to mention before we close out the show?
Sure. I mean, I think we've covered quite a few things, but I mean, there are chapters in there on sexual dreams for health and well-being. A lot of people don't kind of think too much about sexual dreams, or they're too embarrassed to mention them, but sex dreams are not always about sex, and there's all sorts of interesting things you can discover about your life, your relationships, even your job, through looking at sexual dreams. So there's a whole section on that.
That might be why I didn't bring it up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's an interesting topic, really. There's so much that it can come out of that. Yeah. But and another one, I guess, is illness and pain. How to dream yourself well. And then there's also a chapter on bereavement dreams, because I often get people coming up to me after I've done a talk and saying, with tears in their eyes and saying, my husband died. I never see him in my dreams. Please help me. Things like that. And I just want to help people because it can be so wonderful if you have a positive dream of somebody who has died and you see them glowing with health, the picture of vitality, and they give you a hug, and it can be extremely healing. So
absolutely,
a section on that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, and you have some personal experience with the illness and pain and dreaming yourself well, correct?
Oh, yes, yeah. Do you mean with physical? I mean, because I can give you examples.
Yeah, the physical. But... Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So one example was when I was diagnosed with uterine fibroids, which are, they're benign tumors in the womb, in the uterus. And the doctors said to me, you should have them taken out, because I was thinking of having a baby. And they said, if you get pregnant and you've got fibroids, then the fibroids will get bigger because they feed off estrogen and you're flooded with estrogen when you're pregnant. But I didn't want to have an operation, so I decided to work on healing in my dreams. And I had many of what I called earlier, soul dreams, where I was floating in orange light, and there was nothing but this orange light, and I could feel that this was healing me on some deep cellular level. And I also did affirmations during the day saying, the only thing that grows in my womb is a baby. And I got pregnant, and the fibroids were still there, and the doctors were still, muttering warnings. But it was amazing. As the baby grew, the fibroids stopped growing. They just went away. And I think this really went with my affirmation of the only thing that grows in my womb is a baby, because they didn't bother growing. The baby grew. She was absolutely fine. And I had her. Everything was good. And afterwards, I went for a checkup, and there was just no sign of any fibroids. I was completely healthy. So, I mean, you could argue, they could have gone away anyway. And this is always the thing, with dreams, it's hard to get proof. But for me, I certainly felt that my dreams helped me through this incredibly healing orange light. So that's one example of how they helped me on the physical level.
Wow. Well, Claire, I really want to thank you for your time today. I've thoroughly enjoyed speaking with you. And like I mentioned, I've got a lot of dream books, but yours really has a lot to offer. I mean, so many things that I didn't know. You have 50 different practices in there for people. They're very easy. And the examples that you gave, of people and the experiences, it really made it easy to understand the ideas that you're presenting. So I give your book 5 stars. So.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet. I'm glad it was helpful.
You're very, very welcome. And again, everyone, I want to remind you that today's guest has been Dr. Claire R. Johnson. We've been talking about her new book, Mindful Dreaming, Harness the Power of Lucid Dreaming for Happiness, Health, and Positive Change. And again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is deeplucidedreaming.com. And again, I do have a direct link to that website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me. And our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.